sometimes things are not what they appear to be. The mustard seed has, for a long time, been used to describe the amount of faith that you would need to be used by God. They're that small. If you've ever seen a mustard seed, and I've been able to do that with confirmation classes, etc., to hand a mustard seed, and they look and it's like, this isn't worth much. Wait, okay? There's more to this story. Let me tell you about a man who went into the hospital to have major surgery. He was informed about his odds for success, and he knew that it might be touch and go. The man decided to go ahead and have the surgery anyway. After the surgery, he was sent to the recovery room. As he began to wake up groggy from the anesthesia, he noticed that the curtains were drawn closed. He called for the nurse, who explained to him that she decided to close the curtains because there was a huge fire raging across the street. She said that she knew how apprehensive he was about the surgery, and she didn't want him to wake up and think that the surgery had failed and that the flames would mean he had died and gone to, well, you know, that was the subject of last week's sermon. I had to do it. Things are not always as they appear. You have to agree with me. We live in a world of bigger and better. And people are led to believe that a small church is not significant or might not even have a role to play in bringing forth God's kingdom. The bigger, the better. If I took a poll right now and asked you, when you were growing up, did you have a 55-inch television? Maybe a 15-inch television? How many people, when they were growing up, didn't even have a color TV? Color TV didn't come out until really late in the 60s. 66, I think. And even then, if you got a big TV, it was a monstrosity. We had one of those. Marilyn and I, and we left it in Western New York. We were not bringing it down here. It was just way too big and too old. The bigger the better is not always true. I want you to think for a minute. The religious movement that Jesus initiated seemed insignificant to those on the outside. He's just one of those guys claiming to be the Messiah. There was nothing magnificent or grand about the kingdom that Jesus and his small band of 12 disciples represented. Christianity could be described as having had a small and obscure beginning. Even Jesus' teachings raised some eyebrows. I mean, who ever heard of loving your enemies? Turning the other cheek? Walking an extra mile? That is, if you are walking a mile in the first place. Receiving by giving? Jesus' teachings were revolutionary then, just as they are today in our increasingly secular society. And the most important point of Jesus' mention of the mustard seed is for us to be comparing the smallness of the seed to the greatness of the results produced. It's all about potential for God's kingdom, building from small beginnings. Shocking results came from such a small seed, which was expected to yield nothing. It's tiny. What could it possibly do? But Jesus said the mustard seed produced a plant, actually a tree, that became greater than all of the herbs or garden plants. If you'd take your pew Bible out, please, I promised, please, to open to page 1622. Going to Luke chapter 13. And don't close it after this. We're going to have a few more to look at. We're looking at Luke 13, 19. Jesus described the kingdom of God as saying, it is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds perched on its branches. I want to explain it in a further way that Jesus put it, please turn to Matthew 13. It's page 1522. 1522. It's Matthew 13, verses 31 to 33. I think sometimes when we look at it and read it, it stays with us a little longer than just hearing it. He told them another parable. And Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it's the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches." Wow. These same words are recorded in Mark chapter 4, verses 31 to 32. I'm not going to take you there. But another example is in Matthew 17, Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. Just turn a few pages to page 1529. Jesus replied, "Because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say this to the mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." So why did Jesus use a mustard seed? Today, in our instant society, we have canned, bottled, and packaged food. We have so many ready-to-eat things that you can just toss in the microwave. But in Jesus' day, almost everyone had their own garden. Now, an important part of the garden in Jesus' day was the mustard plant. I'm sure you're saying to yourself, why? Well, it was well known it was corrective power in disease, potency against venom. It was spicy. Fiery vigor, the one spice that poor people used as their main condiment. And for such a small beginning, there comes a greater potential than what is expected. One man and his disciples have become greater than all the garden plants and herbs. Jesus plus 12, plus 70, plus 500, plus 3,000 at Pentecost. You do the math. It's pretty impressive, isn't it? From simple beginnings, we see the gospel spread all over the world. God used the original 12 men to start global evangelism. And you know what? He can use us too if we're willing to become his seed. How often do we think of ourselves as being too small, too insignificant to make a difference? At first, it may seem that we have no effect, but if we diligently continue to sow the smallest of seeds and repeat the process faithfully, we will soon begin to see the effects of our small beginnings being repeated and the results increasingly becoming larger. So, this being the season for polls, I'm going to take another poll. Don't worry, it's not political. I have to ask you, which of these would you take in a 30-day period? The magnificent and marvelous Billy Graham preaching and 3,000 people giving their lives to Christ each night in a 30-day period? Or one Christian introducing one soul to Jesus the first day, and then those two introducing Jesus to two more, and then those four bringing Jesus to four more, and so on for 30 days. Well, at the end of 30 days, Billy Graham would have seen 1,095,000 persons come to Christ. That's pretty impressive. It's very impressive. The one-to-one method, which started small, like the mustard seed, would end with, are you ready? 376,870,952. All I kept thinking of was that old TV commercial. They'll tell two friends, and they'll tell two friends, and so on, and so on and so on. Life comes from life. The vitality and growth of the body of Christ comes from sharing our faith and relationship with others, submitting to His Lordship and receiving the Holy Spirit. You see, one of the first things to stir us when we come to Christ should be the desire to see others come to Christ as well. Every member is its own mustard seed. All each believer has to do is sow and then pray for the harvest. I don't have to preach about harvests in this community. Y'all know what it means to plant, to grow, and then to reap. This is the one true mission of the church, the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. You don't need to open your Bibles for this. Y'all know it, I'm sure. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them, here it comes, to obey everything I have commanded you. And here it even gets better, because we're not doing it alone. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. There was this new church being built. One of the finest features of this magnificent new church was going to be this awesome, beautiful stained glass window. The building committee searched for a long time for a subject for the window and finally decided upon the lines from the old hymn, "Around the throne of God in heaven, thousands of children stand." They hired a very well-known artist and commissioned him to paint the picture from which that stained glass window would be made. Well, as he began painting, he became so obsessed with the work that he fell in love with the work that he was painting. He finally finished it and he went to bed. He went early because tomorrow was the big day. He was going to unveil his painting for the church and for the world. During the night, he heard a noise coming from his studio. He got up to go and investigate. When he got to his studio, there was a stranger with a brush in one hand and the color palette in the other working on his painting. "Stop!" the artist cried. "You're ruining my painting." The stranger said, "I think you've already ruined it." "What do you mean?" said the artist. "Well," the stranger said, "you have many colors on your palette, but you've only used one on the faces of the children. Who told you that in heaven there were only children whose faces were white?" "No one," said the artist. "I just pictured it that way." The stranger continued in a loving tone of voice, "Look, I'm painting their faces in every color and shade of every race. They're all there, for they have answered my call." "Your call?" questioned the artist. "Yes. Once, long ago, I said, let the children come to me, and don't stop them, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And I'm still saying that today." The artist finally realized that it was Jesus himself, and as he did so, the Lord vanished from his sight. The painting looked so much more wonderful now with its children and faces of every shade and color. Well, the artist woke up the next morning and rushed to his studio only to see that the painting was just as he left it the night before when he went to bed. He quickly rushed to paint the faces of the children in the colors of every race throughout the world. The committee arrived, and as the painting was unveiled, one of the members of the committee said, "Look, it's God's family at home. The church that began as Jesus and 12 disciples from very small beginnings has room in it for everyone who wants to know Jesus and have a loving relationship with him. But most of all, who are willing to be transformed by him and his love. We need to be honoring the small beginnings of the mustard seed that grows to a big, strong tree, whose faith can do marvelous things through the small beginning of a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, and to have the faith to let him grow in that relationship. For his grace is sufficient. Let me share this with you. That yesterday during our confirmation class, there were questions about the beginning of this church. And I shared some of the history. And I got to thinking about the sermon that I was writing and would prepare and give this morning. On that Pentecost Sunday, when y'all walked and came to rent this church from St. Paul's Catholic Church, began as a mustard seed, one that had been starting to grow, and then it took root and started to branch out. It's growing into a strong tree. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for showing us the way, for delivering us from the wilderness to the tabernacle. Lord, use us as you will. Guide us as you will. But let this tree grow and continue to bear fruit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.